Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of the show, we have a newbie, yes, you know, and he's an attorney, and he's got he's a former prosecutor. Don't hold that against him, but Mark E. Curtis, he's with Defender of the Blue. And that is at defenderoftheblue.com. If you guys want to check him out and try to crash that server that they've got with his resume on there. But Mark, thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate having you. We've also got Chief Joel Schultz, who needs no introduction. And he's back, former Secret Service agent Rich Steropoli. I said Steropoli, Steropoli. Sorry. He's okay with however you pronounce his name. And I've heard his name pronounced in ways I can't even say on the air. But I will stick with the clean stuff. So, but anyway, thanks guys for being on the show. We appreciate it. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, you know, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. We're wrapping up our seventh week on satellite radio now. Thanks to them. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming to pages with about 1.5 million followers right now. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. You can get really cool gear that has our logo on it when you go to our site at leoroundtable.com and check out that new store built by Two Bells. A shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thank you for carrying our content, Brian, and also Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, we basically have stories with video components that we're going to be covering today. We don't have any main stories. There's no update stories. There is really nothing sensational enough in the news, at least for my palate, that beat out the stories with the video components. And I didn't wake up and find out that we're at war with Iran yet. And I'm going on a 24 by 24 hour basis waiting for that announcement. So it didn't happen. So we're not talking about that. So in our first story at rumble.com and our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, it's called Armed Domestic Violence Suspect Says Good Shot After Being Shot by LAPD Officers.
Hey! He has a rifle! He has a rifle!
So he actually gives credits for the cops. And look, if you're listening to the show audibly, your favorite radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going down so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a story that you absolutely just have to see the video portion, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, because our producer, Will Stature, he'll take a copy of this live show and he'll reproduce it the next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And in that reproduction, he'll put in all the videos that we talk about as we talk about them, pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them as well. It's a great way to watch the show. That happens Tuesday through Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern time on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, or you can simply type in Law Enforcement Talk Show. So in this particular story, armed domestic violence suspect says good shot after being shot by LAPD officers. So we're in South LA, newly released body cam video. It shows the intense confrontation with this guy accused of domestic violence inside a South LA home that happened last month. Now, LA police officers, they opened fire on this man. He appeared to be armed with a rifle. So that's always scary because it's really not, you know, an equal fight unless you've also got a rifle. He ends up being shot in the leg and wounded. And then he delivered this surprising message to the officers who opened fire on him. Hey, that was a good shot, though. It was a good shot. So it all started when police got a frantic 911 call. And it was someone saying, hey, he's hitting her, my son is hitting this baby's mom. And a woman is frantically reporting on the call, said that he wouldn't stop and that she was trying to stop him, but couldn't. And then she wanted the police to come. So several officers rushed to the home. And now we got body cam. You can hear screams coming from the house. And when the cops get to the front door, there's a small child yelling for the officers to help his mom. So when they go in, they make their move. There's a long hallway. And at the end of the hallway, they see the bad guy. And he's got a long gun in his hand. And the cops have pistols. So the closest cop, he just unloads a barrage of gunfire. And bad guy goes down. Then right after that happens, a woman that he'd been beating comes running out of a, looked like a bedroom, down the hallway. That happened very suddenly. So I'm glad we didn't have any, you know, any accidental, you know, firing going off, because they're concentrating on the bad guy. All of a sudden, this female, you know, runs right in front of the bad guy. And officers take the suspect, identified as 26-year-old Shamar Bennett, in the custody. They put a tourniquet on his leg, and he ended up having, you know, it's always funny when they have, you know, like a BB or a pellet gun. It's kind of funny. Sometimes they'll write a descriptor of this, you know, it's not really a firearm. I'm not saying they're not justified, but here's how they describe the BB gun that they used. They used lethal force against. They say the rifle found at the scene was capable of firing metallic BB rounds, according to the LAPD. So it seems like they're just trying to kind of like over-exaggerate the capability, but it doesn't, you know, we don't need that to justify the shoot. I'm curious what you guys think about the shoot. I tell you, not much time went by the time they entered the house before they neutralized this threat. And Rich Steripoli, I got the name right this time. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I'll tell you, even though not a whole lot of time went by from the time they responded to the time they entered the residence, you'll notice they did take a step back and take a second or two to coordinate their efforts before they went through that front door. And why do you do that? Because this is probably the most dangerous situation you can ever encounter. That's a call to a domestic violence situation. You just don't know what you're walking into. For all you know, it could be a fictitious call, and its purpose is just to ambush responding cops, right? Once they got inside and they face off with this guy with this AR-15, basically, which is what he was holding, they shot him. And the fact that this guy says, hey, good shot, and he's got the wherewithal to do that, that tells me this guy's been a guest of the police prior to this one incident. So I thought it was a good job by the responding units all around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they are pretty quick on the draw. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
No, well, on top of that, the one thing, too, is you saw that they did stage together. And once they went to go enter into the house, they were being cautious. But the second that the child came out and started saying, my mama, all of a sudden you saw their urgency pick up even more to go in. And then even after they confronted him with the long gun, they still provided good tactical response necessarily, because they didn't continue down that hall. They made him crawl out to him because they weren't sure what else was still behind there, what could be there, what could, and people are like, oh, they should have rendered him aid right away. Well, they don't know what he can reach for and what he can. They didn't have control of his hands at that point. They didn't know what was going to happen. So I applaud him too, for taking that, having that wherewithal of not rushing right in there and putting themselves in danger in that part too.
And Mark, they were, it had the capability, that rifle, of shooting metallic BB rounds instead of like maybe plastic ones, which I've never heard of, but I, you know, maybe there are plastic rounds out there. I don't know. So,
well, you know, kudos to the police department for making sure they made the point of saying that thing was capable of firing metallic rounds, right? Because you can't have the media picking up on the fact that it was an airsoft pistol that only fired, you know, paintballs or plastic BBs. And because then they'll spin it as, well, it wasn't capable of harming the responding officers anyway. So you know what? That's one for us. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Especially when on the video, he's saying it was a fake gun. I mean, why'd you shoot me? It was a fake gun. They don't know that.
You know, Chief Schultz, if they came up, well, actually, we've already got less lethals. They're painted like orange, right? I mean, you visibly can tell that you're shooting a less lethal beanbag round or foam round out of a less lethal shotgun, right? So if they came out with a statute saying that we could not use lethal against anyone that had a gun painted orange, what do you think would happen?
Well, it's already happening. They're painting orange on real firearms and painting black on orange tipped firearms. I'm glad nobody here has used the term assault rifle, which I saw this thing labeled as on the video. Man, I hate that word. It's just, yeah, it's a long gun. It's a rifle. You know, so that's just a little 2A pet peeve of mine that we hear, you know, often. I was kind of interested in the, you know, one of the dispatch reports was that he was maybe on the porch. And so even though the arriving officers were offset a little bit from the kill zone right off of the front door, I thought they could have been a little bit more discreetly deployed and approached up through the side. Because if he had been in that front room behind that door, you know, it was a pretty easy funnel. There's, and that's just a minor observation. I thought they did they did good. Nobody that didn't need to get shot got shot. I do wonder about, I'm seeing everybody applying tourniquets on almost any injury now. And I wonder if that's not a little much, because if you look, and I don't know, it probably look like a bloody mess unless get a tourniquet, you know, better safe than sorry. But when they showed the wound that was cleaned off, it looked like he'd fallen and scraped his knee. So just interesting practice.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about assault rifle, because there's no such thing. It's a terminology that a group has come up with, and it's a rifle. It's a long gun, and it's simply used to try to inflame people that hear the term. But there's really no such thing. And of course, we know that the Armalite, you know, the AR, you know, doesn't stand for assault rifle, as some people originally thought that it did. But they only are trying to use that for their benefit. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Well, gentlemen, are you ready to move on to another story with a video component? We got some good ones here. So if you want to take anything out of order too, just let me know. Our next story that I've got lined up, it also has a video component, but we're coming over the Mark's neck of the woods. We're going to go jump over the Grand Rapids. So at rumble.com, again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And I've got about a little over a minute, so I'll go through as much of this as I can before we take our first commercial break. Grand Rapids police released body cam in response to a viral video of an arrest. So Grand Rapids, Michigan. So this video circulating on social media of a Grand Rapids police officer, he appears to punch a man, and they're saying that it was a lawful use of force, according to the police chief. So you got the chief backing him up. The video seems to show this Grand Rapids Police Department officer or officers using physical force against and then arresting a man during the arrest of another person. Now, at the news conference on Monday afternoon, Grand Rapids Police Department Chief Eric Winstrom said that the clip of the video went viral, and it does not show the whole situation, though. It goes on to say that officers were in Grand Rapids 9:15 in the morning. It was on Friday. Someone flagged them down saying they saw an armed guy go into the Walgreens, and then officers began investigating. Now, we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of this. It's a pretty wild story when you hear what happened and the way this thing went down. But, guys, we're up for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can get our gear from a lot of different places, and especially when we consider going online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. Now, I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code so you automatically get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. It's Radio 15, Radio 15. Type that in for 15% off your next purchase until June the 30th at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. Again, all you have to do is go to Gauls.com. If you haven't been there, you should really go today. Gauls.com. You'll be very glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Mark Curtis. We've also got retired Secret Service Rich Steropoli, and we've got Chief Joel Schultz. So, Rich, I did it again. But anyhow, we left off talking about Grand Rapids Police Department. They've got a body cam in response to a viral video of an arrest. And so we're in the state of Michigan. And in this video, officers, it shows them using physical force against a bad guy and arresting him during the arrest of another person. And it's when you watch this video, it's so typical of what those of us in law enforcement have to deal with on so many occasions. A lot of people just don't get it. But the moment you watch the video, some things just never change, right? And this is why it's so important to have restrictions on how close people can get to you when you're trying to do your job. So in this particular one, we've got the chief, Eric Winstrom. he's standing up for his troops at Grand Rapids Police Department. And he said the clip went viral, but it doesn't show the whole situation. The officers were taking some heat for this. So Chief Winstrom said that the officers were in Grand Rapids and they were working around 9:15 in the morning. It was on a Friday. Someone flagged them down saying that they saw an armed man walk into the Walgreens, and the officers started doing their investigation. He said that there was a very scary situation where an individual was seen, and it was verified that he had an AR-15 around his neck, and he exited the Walgreens, and he also had a 9mm handgun on his hip. Now, Chief goes on to say even further that from an outsider's point of view, you could look at it as a potential active shooter situation, mass casualty incident, and that they recognized that they had to do a full investigation. So they're doing this investigation. He said the armed man was actually accompanied by two other people, but they all at this point were compliant with police orders and police commands. Now, the video shared by Chief Winstrom shows compiled clips from body cameras that were worn by different Grand Rapids police officers. They repeatedly ordered bystanders to clear the area. So these are not the people that they're trying to deal with. These are the, I'm going to call them agitators for lack of a better word, that the cops are now having to split their attention up between the potential bad guys that are armed with an AR-15 and with a pistol and these other ones. And you just don't know who, bad guys don't have signs on them, right? So they're having to deal and split their attention, which is a huge safety issue. And so he's giving quotes saying, hey, get back over this way. Everyone, please, let's go. Another officer says to some people standing behind a drugstore, hey, we need you to get back just because you're in the background of what could be a bad situation. And so at least the cops are looking forward and seeing what the backdrop is in case there is a shooting situation. Chief Winstrom said the orders to move were for the safety of the bystanders and the officers as well. And this is your last chance. You're going to go to jail. Back up now. A different officer says when bystanders did not move away and instead interacted with a police officer, one man was arrested. It's kind of interesting how that happened, because you see the male officer putting his hand on this agitator's chest. But as the officer's doing that, he's having to look away, because remember, his attention's being split between multiple people, including the potential bad guys they're really supposed to be dealing with. And so this agitator strikes the cop's hand. We're looking at it from the back of the agitator, but you can see him clearly mark the slap the cop's hand away and knock it. Cop turns around, looks at him, then this female jumps in between him, and the cop, you know, goes after him because he's now committed battery on a police officer, which normally is going to be a felony. And so now the fight is on. That officer tries to do some kind of a leg kick against the bad guy. Bad guy catches him off of balance, pushes him, cop goes down. And there was another, when I read the article, it made it look like the original cop ended up tasing the bad guy and the bad guy went down, this agitator. But I believe it was another cop that was out of the frame that nailed this guy. Because let me tell you, this big black dude that was the agitator gets locked up and, man, he goes down and they jump on him and they get him handcuffed. And the guy that they end up handcuffing, it looks like he was the Boston Square Neighborhood Association president. And I went to another site and they're identifying his name as Victor Williams. So that's the way this thing goes down. I've kind of incorporated things that are written in the article and from what I remember and in my show notes and stuff. But this whole scenario is typical of a lot of what we have to deal with, Dr. Schultz. And it just, I don't know, it made me relive some incidents, unfortunately, that I've had to deal with. So how about you?
Well, it's certainly been there. This is a classic example of you better write a good report and articulate all the things that people can't see when they see body cam footage and edited YouTube footage, because it would be very easy to look at this and say, this is not an interference case. This is a contempt of cop case. And I'll also say, just as an aside, I'm a big fan of pepper spray. I didn't see that being used.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But of course, you know, pepper spray loves love, Rich, right? You pepper spray one, you pepper spray everybody. So
yeah, and you gotta, you know, you gotta figure your windage. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the problem. But I also, Chip, you know what the other part of the problem here is? Take the body worn camera footage out of the picture here. What are you left with? You're left with footage shot by these so-called community activists, the community leaders. You know what? When I hear that, that's code word for people that don't like the police, that are anti-police, and their sole existence, their sole purpose is to appease the bad guys and just antagonize the police and spin the community up. And that's what you've got here. So I'm glad that chief came out and he made sure that BWC footage got out there to be seen. Otherwise, it's so one-sided, it's ridiculous. And if you listen to some of the the audio, you hear people referring to the responding law enforcement as the police. Once I hear that, that tells me there's going to be a problem. So I'll leave it at that.
And truly, that's what happened, is that the people that were videoing and interjecting themselves are the ones who created the problem. I know Chief Lindstrom, I applaud him for standing up and coming out and getting out in front of it and not allowing social media and these guys to run with the narrative. But what's interesting out of the whole thing is the three suspects that the officers initially were making contact with were compliant throughout the entire incident. They weren't the issue. It was the so-called community member, the community leadership, who's there and said, and I've watched some of the clips that they put out, they were there to protect the individuals being harassed by law enforcement and cause themselves to be the problem instead of helping with the problem. And that was, they caused more of an issue. And then the second that he laid hands on the law enforcement officer, game over.
All right, perfect timing, guys, up for a second commercial break. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our favorite compliant technologies at compliantechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for conductive distraction and de-escalation technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at compliantechnologies.com, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you along with ComplianTechnologies.com. You'd be glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, it's Undercover Operations on June the 25th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by attorney Mark Curtis. We've got Chief Joel Schultz and Rich Esteropoli, and he's retired Secret Service. So thanks, guys, so much for being on the show. And I know we've had some good dialogue. I know when we went to cut the commercial break, that attorney Mark Curtis was in the middle, in the throes of giving this beautiful dissertation about the events that happened. I know that we all are impressed with the chief that actually Mark knows personally. So if you could pass on our support to him for backing up his troops and doing it in a way, with receipts. You know, he's bringing the proof that they did that they were doing their jobs. But any final words, Mark, on this one?
I just think the chief had a perfect message for everyone out there, is that, you know, you need to comply now and complain later. If those individuals would have just backed off, let law enforcement do their jobs, and then filed their complaint with the department, this whole incident wouldn't have happened. That's it. Like we said earlier, it's not a spectator sport. You don't get yourself involved in it. Just let the officers do their job.
So on that note, because we have said versions of that on the show for quite a while, but let's dissect that for a second. You're going to have people watching the show. They're going to say, all right, comply now, complain later. What if it, okay, let's just say that it's a non-criminal violation. Let's say the cop is doing something that is involving their, they think it's improperly being stopped or search and seizure or detainment. So something that would not necessarily be criminal, a cop is doing, but just say it would be a policy violation or maybe not even a civil rights thing, but something along those lines where it'd be like an IA thing that they would investigate. I can get to where people should be able to wrap their heads around, all right, if I just comply, I can complain to internal affairs later. But what if they're saying that it's something criminal in nature? And where they would have to go to a DA or go to a state attorney's office or something, you're still saying comply, right? I mean, and I agree with that. What do they have to lose really by doing that?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's like, well, I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm going to go to jail. They're going to arrest me if they did something criminal. Well, it's better to go through that process than end up with a resisting and obstructing charge or a assault on a police officer charge because you think you're right. You're not going to win that battle on the side of the road. You're going to end up in cuffs. You're going to end up in a jail cell. And now you are the one who looks worse because you didn't comply. Where if you actually do what the officer tells you and you go and actually, when you're done, go file your complaint. You know, as a criminal attorney with some, I'll have people call me and be like, hey, this officer did this. He did that. Go call the Michigan State Police. Go file a complaint with their department. Go do that as a proper way to do it, because then the investigation will be done. I represent officers all over the state that an internal affairs investigation will start to turn into a criminal investigation because somebody came in and filed a complaint. That's the proper way to do it. Throwing it on the side of the road or at the scene isn't going to get you the result that you're looking for. That officer is not going to stop doing what they're doing.
Yeah. And plus, typically, we're aware of information that these people are not, right? I mean, and Rich, I think that you would agree with me. We know that we're pulling the car over because maybe it matches the description of an armed robbery suspect, armed robbery vehicle, suspect description, maybe the guy's arm, maybe it's an abduction involving, you know, a child, anything, right?
Yeah, but Mark, I think, put it perfectly. People are under the delusion that if they get loud or they go hands-on with a cop on the side of the road and they want to try to put this to rest right there and then, that they're going to get some sort of resolution that'll work in their favor. And it's going to be just the opposite. You're going to end up in cuffs, or worse, you're going to end up getting hurt. You really do need to deal with the situation now, and you can go file your complaint later. But most of the people that we're talking about aren't going to, they're not the fine, upstanding citizens that they purport themselves to be. So, you know, they're going to deal with it on the side of the road. That's fine. You'll end up in cuffs, and then we'll deal with it, you know, as the circumstances unfold.
You're right. Well put. Final words, Chief Schultz.
Well, just there, we need to overcome this this public narrative, the myth that police need to be held more accountable. I mean, they're filmed 24/7, inside and outside. They face internal scrutiny, personal professional scrutiny, federal civil rights law, state lawsuit, federal lawsuit, state criminal prosecution. I mean, I can't count on one hand how many ways cops can get in trouble and are supervised, not to mention the appeal to the United Nations.
Yeah, there you go. Well, guys, I think we have time to cover one more. And it's going to be a little, we're going to jump over the Salt Lake at rumble.com. Again, this is Butters, the channel. Body cam video shows Salt Lake police. They shoot and kill an armed man, but this guy broke into his ex-wife's home.
We kicked the door.
We kicked the door.
Kicked the door.
Charlie 453, there is active kicking doors in the basement.
Do it.
Okay. Kick the door.
Protect us, hey!
Hold it up, hold the basement!
Okay, I got the basement. You guys crack your seat upstairs.
Listen to this story, and again, DV Central. Here we go. So Salt Lake City, Utah, dynamic and dangerous domestic violence call back in May resulted in police officers shooting and killing this guy who had broken into his ex-wife's home and threatened to harm her and her teenage children. So Christian Thomas Allen, 60 years old, ends up being killed by Salt Lake City police. This happened on May the 27th inside a home. Allen's ex-wife, who had a protective order against him, she calls 911. It's about 12:15 in the morning after locking herself in a bedroom with her two children that were 15 and 17 years old. Now, she was, I guess at first she's unsure if that her ex, you know, husband had made it inside the home. And she starts talking to the dispatcher and she's whispering, saying that, hey, now he's in the house. So in the background, Allen can be heard yelling statements such as, hey, this is what you get. And Allen's our bad guy. Why did you do this to me? And at one point, the ex-wife tells the dispatcher he has gasoline and he has it in the house, and that he claims that he's going to light himself on fire and burn the house down. And it goes on to say that This is him staying. I went down the Chevron and I poured gasoline all over myself. I have gasoline all over me and I'm going to light myself on fire and burn the house. This is your fault. And, you know, you know what? It's always typical, isn't it, that a woman makes us guys just act crazy like this, right? So I know you're thinking this normally happens in the Florida where I'm from, but I'm just glad that that Utah's taking some of the Florida heat and making us all, you know, we're all crazy over here, but at least we're kind of spreading it around to the country. So please hurry. The woman whispers to the 911 operator. And so the first arriving officer reports that he can see our bad guy, whose name is Alan, through the living room window. As additional officers are arriving, they make a plan. They're covering all the doors, and two officers go to the front door, and another two go to the backyard, and they all have their guns drawn. So the officers who go to the back, they find a broken basement window, and they think that that's how he actually got into the house. An officer in the front tries to knock on the door, gets no response, and then another officer that's on the side of the house hears Alan yelling, "Shoot me." And officers at both the front and the back doors, they kick in the locked doors almost simultaneously, and now they're in the house. So as soon as they enter, they find our bad guy, Alan, holding a large knife. Let me just say that as they're walking into this area, like this kitchen area where he's at, there's like to the right, there's like this long hallway, like looks like it's going down to the basement. It's a dark hallway, and there's people down there, but they go past that, and now they're in the kitchen, and this guy's at the end of the kitchen. And he starts charging the cops. He's got this knife in his hand, and they fire more than half a dozen rounds, and his body goes down, and he's still holding the knife. And then it's really not part of the story, but it's part of my story. As soon as this goes down, this black object comes rushing up the stairs towards one of the cops. It was like a black lab. And I guess he's like freaking out, like, "Man, dude, I want no part of this. I'm getting out of here." So he's like, and he's so frantic trying to get up the stairs. He's like, just like losing it. It's like he can't get any traction. He's like all over the place. And he comes finally in the focus, and he just like brushes by the officer, and he just beats foot out of the house all the way up the stairs and stuff. But the only guy that suffered was the bad guy. Rich, why don't you start us on this one? We have a little over 2 minutes.
Chip, you hit it right on the head, right? The thing that stood out to me was after the cops, you know, shot this guy in the kitchen, you had that one cop at the top of that staircase leading to the basement, and all of a sudden this dog comes out of nowhere. I got to tell you, that cop, outstanding job maintaining his composure, not lighting that dog up. Because I was watching it on video. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Right? But tactically, the thing I wanted to point out about that cop at the top of the staircase, he had enough sense to have, and from a tactical perspective, this is so important, a light on the rail of that handgun. How many cops do not have lights on their handguns? I cannot overemphasize the importance of being able to light up something, not just in the dark, but even during the day. The ability to put light on something or someone is tremendous. It gives you an advantage unlike anything else. So kudos to that guy.
Yeah, great. That's really a great point. And I wish we had more time to talk about it. We still have agencies that are restrictive over what cops can put on their guns, you know, and maybe the agency supplies the holster, but now they got to get a new tie in a holster to be able to fit the attachment, whether it's a gun or it's a laser sight or whatever. So, or another optic that maybe you have.
No, big fan of the flashlight. You know, when I first started the Secret Service, I carried a SIG 220, the 45, which is large frame weapon. So had no issue, loading a surefire flashlight onto the rail of that weapon. But big fan of the light. You got to have it.
Yeah, it certainly made a difference. Obviously one, you know, in this one. We got about 43 seconds, gentlemen. Any final thoughts on this one? It was a, the second officer, you know, he was certainly aware of the, even where he stood, he was at the top of the stairs and you could see him pan towards it back and forth. So he was certainly aware of, and wasn't taking anything for granted, you know, so he was very aware of his surroundings. I love seeing stuff like that. Chief Schultz, 20 seconds.
It was a little confusing, I think, for the number of cops that were there. The other thing I would say is that, if you've got somebody safe in some rooms, shelter in place rather than evacuate would have been my recommendation, but
happy. I got you. All right. Commercial break, guys. And we're going to be talking about GunLearn at gunlearn.com. And, you know, guys, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Civil lawsuits, injuries, accidental injuries, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're watching or listening to the show and you have your own agency, you're a chief or a sheriff, they've got a deal for you. The founder, Dana Kelly, has worked it out to where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Excellent opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by attorney Mark Curtis. We've got Chief Joel Schultz. We've got Rich Steropoli from Secret Service. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. And hey, we just got done talking about a story where we had a wife or an ex-wife. It had an injunction against her ex-husband, and he came to the house, broke in. She had two teenage boys locked in a bedroom, and the guy ended up charging the cops when they came there. So that's the way that ended. It didn't end favorably for him, but at least no one else got hurt. Are you guys ready to move on to another story with a video component? And Chief Schultz, I'll try not to include one with an animal because I know you're kind of sensitive over these animals getting hurt in these videos. So let's go to Titusville. At rumble.com is the channel. This is Butter on at Rumble. Titusville police released body cam in the shooting death of a 25-year-old who reaches for a gun.
We got our supervisor on scene. You mind stepping out of the house?
Yeah.
Upon Officer One's request, two occupants exited the house. Suddenly, a third subject, Trimeria Charles, ran through the front door and in doing so, tripped over the homeowner's walker, falling to the ground. During his fall, a handgun fell from Charles's waistband onto the walkway, directly in front of Officer One. Officer One immediately yelled in a very loud and clear voice, "He has a gun! He has a gun!" to alert the officers on scene. Charles continued his efforts to flee by swinging a closed fist at Officer One and then pushing Officer One in the chest. Trimeria changed his direction, turning back towards his firearm that he had dropped, picking up the firearm and continued to flee on foot. Charles was able to retrieve the gun with his left hand and ran in a northeastern direction directly towards the location of Officer 2 and his marked patrol vehicle. At the same time, Officer 2 was running towards Officer 1 to assist in what he now knew to be an armed assailant. Charles changed the direction he was running to a more eastern direction, and while doing so, quickly turned his body towards Officer One while changing the gun from his left hand to his right hand. As the series of events unfolded, both Officer One and Officer Two discharged their weapon towards Charles as he was an armed threat. Officers continued to fire at Charles until he fell to the ground.
So Titusville, of course, you can't talk about crazies unless you come to Florida where I'm at. So, yeah, we're in Florida. And the moments after being shot by police officers, a dying 25-year-old Titusville man yelled, "I'm dead, I'm dead. I'm going down. I an expletive up my life. It's over with." And this, according to the video released by the Titusville police back on June 13th. And it details an officer-involved shooting. And so here's where we're at. We've got Titusville Police Chief John Lau that is kind of narrating this video. It's an 18-minute video and explaining the officers' actions and the reactions to the shooting, which happened while police were investigating ongoing complaints at a home. So this isn't the first time they've been there. On June the 10th, State Attorney William Shiner announced that the Titusville police officers were justified in the shooting. And in the case's findings, they were investigated by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and then they were reviewed by the Brevard County State Attorney's Office. So they went through a lot of hoops on this one. Investigators said that Charles, which is our bad guy, and I'm trying to find it. Yeah, it's Trimeria Charles, and he's our bad guy. And they're saying that he ended up being shot 10 times, including several as he ran. He's armed with a gun that's modified for a rapid number of rounds being fired. He's running from one officer to another, following what investigators said was a violent confrontation. So the article doesn't really say a lot except given the names of the officers. So I'm going to go to my show notes here. And if you start watching, it's a long video, but at 10 minutes and 20 seconds into it, officers, as they respond to a shots fired call at this residence. And again, this residence has got a long history of gun offenses, and they even had done a search warrant recently and taken a lot of guns out of it. But now they're back again at the 10 minute 57 mark, a suspect. They're talking to two people in the doorway, and this suspect is in the inside, comes to the doorway, and he opens up the front door. And while the cops are talking to the residents, this guy just like tries to bolt out of the door and make it by the cops, but he ends up tripping and losing his balance. And when he does that, unfortunate for him, he's got a gun that drops in a magazine that drops down on the ground. And so now he hits the officer as he's trying to, you know, bail out too, and he loses his balance. So now he's trying to get away from the officer, and he reaches down on the ground and he grabs the gun. And shots ended up being fired at the 12 minutes and 24 seconds as the suspect is running on foot and pointing his gun at different officers. And this is the case where attorney Ben Crump is representing the surviving family. And so that's kind of what we have. And, you know, Ben Crump, you know, his name pops up all the time. So I take that with a grain of salt. It tells me there's usually something to look into on this one. So commentary on this shooting, kind of dynamic. It goes down very quickly. It's dark. But it's a problem house. It's a problem family. A lot of gun calls and search warrants, and the problem had not been solved yet. So now we have a death involved of a hoodlum that decides to grab a gun and run from cops. Rich?
Well, listen, this guy was a piece of garbage, so there's no great loss to the American society here. But, you know, the family's so concerned about the police showing up at the house and hurting any of their family members. Why don't you do something about the problem, right? You live in a crack house. The police have probably been out there 100 times. What do you think is going to happen here? And how do you explain the fact that this fine, upstanding citizen tries to run past the cops, drops his gun on the way out? And what did you think was going to happen here? You know, people need to take accountability and responsibility for their own actions and the actions of their family. There was nothing wrong with this shooting. There was nothing wrong with the police response here. You know, too bad now that we have to waste time and resources entertaining the complaints of the family. This is ridiculous. But this is the way society is nowadays.
Well, what they're looking for is they want the check. They really don't care about the family member anymore, because if they did, they would actually correct their behavior. This guy picked up a gun and pointed at officers. What do you think was going to happen? The family knows what he did was wrong, and probably deep down will tell you that, you know, he shouldn't have done it and he probably deserved it. But they want the check. That's why Ben Crump's involved. He's only there to collect the payday. That's all they want.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Mark, I don't know if you picked up on it, but when Rich said the word garbage, it was almost like I think his wife's Boston accent's rubbing off on him, because that was all Boston when he said garbage.
Well, I was going to say something else, but it was one of those seven words you told me not to say.
Oh, all right. My bad. I don't want to open that door. Yeah, good point. Good point. Anything else in reference to this one, guys? Well, once again,
kudos to the chief that stepped up, and I appreciate his focus. Might have been a little delayed in making a statement, but I understand there are a lot of things going on. But he was especially critical of the agitators, the people that made speculation out of ignorance, and they came from out of town. So, you know, one of the things that I hope happens with these body cam footages is that you see the knuckleheads opposing the police, interfering with the police, acting stupidly against the police, and you'd think that maybe the public that watches this stuff will kind of get the idea to just let the cops do what the cops need to do. And particularly in these cases where they call the cops do cop things, and then they complain about what the cops did. Doesn't make sense.
Oh, I'm with you. Well, Rich,
make sense, but you know what? The body cam footage speaks for itself, right? And when you have the narrative from the police chief defending the cops, that's all that needs to be said. Yet for the last 4 years during the administration of the Biden crime family, you had the White House press secretary who would stand there, and when video was playing in front of her, she would say, "Nope, the sky's not blue, it's purple." And half of the American society believed it and went with that. And that's where we're headed now. But hopefully the tide turns the other way and we can get back to some level of sanity here where this type of thing isn't tolerated anymore.
Yeah, but until these jurisdictions stop just writing them checks just because of the optics that they get, then it's not going to stop. because until we actually take them through that, because the criminal case, they don't worry about too much. Okay, that went away. They're all worried about civil. And I'm going to keep pushing the civil narrative so I get the bigger zeros at the end of my check, and the townships and the states are willing to write those checks. And as long as that continues to happen, then it's going to be hard turning that pendulum.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so I don't know what the, and we got 2 minutes, so we might as well, not really enough time to cover another, video component, but you bring up a good point. What do they have to lose, right? I mean, we're, even at my agency, we were still allowing people to file some criminal complaints and not making them sign an affidavit swearing that what they're saying is truthful and not holding them accountable in case they're lying to police. I mean, that was even going on with internal affairs complaints, which is kind of scary. So I don't know. Rich?
Hey, listen, if I'm some bad guy, or one of my family members is a bad guy that just got killed by the cops, and some attorney shows up and says he'll take the case for free and we'll split 50-50 and maybe we get $20 million out of this. Hey, why not? I'll roll with this and let's see what happens. The problem is nobody shuts that down and allows this stuff to take up time and resources of the court system. And they entertain this nonsense, and that's the problem.
And not to give Grand Rapids another shout out, but they have a lawsuit going on right now where they have stood up and said, no, we're not going to write you a check. And that has gone all the way up to the Sixth Circuit and has come back down. And it's a Ben Crump case. And the city of Grand Rapids has said, no, we believe we're justified. We're not going to settle this out right now. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen 6 months from now. But they have said we're not going to write the check. So at least one of the local one jurisdiction has stood up and said, not us, not today.
Fantastic. I think that's great. And don't think, if anybody's listening out there, that this only just occurs to the local uniformed officers, right? This thing has permeated the federal system as well. The FBI and the Secret Service are notorious for giving big payouts in these nonsense cases where, 20 years ago, this would never have been entertained. But people are in it for the pursuit of money, and in the end, they're going to get a payout. They'll run with it.
Yeah, good point. Chief Schultz, we've got about 22 seconds.
Oh, I just wanted to say I wish we could listen to Rich unfiltered.
I know you may want to be careful what you wish for, but hey, another great show, gentlemen. So thank you guys so much for being on the show, Attorney Mark Curtis, and of course Chief Joel Schultz and Rich Steripoli. Thank you guys so much, but don't go anywhere, because I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And it's one of those organizations that I support them monthly, and I don't have to worry about them doing something that's going to embarrass me, right? So I really love the people that are involved. Travis Yates is on the board as well, and Randy Sutton founded it, and they're really a bunch of good guys over there. So please consider supporting the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. We've got an all-star cast. Mark, I'm so glad you made your first appearance, and you were spectacular today, so I hope that we get to see more of you. And I also want to point out, guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make sure that we're able to bring you this good quality content. And satellite radio is not cheap. A shout out to Gulls.com, ComplianttechnologiesCom, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, and SafeguardRecruiting.com, and TwoBells.com. Check out our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We'll see you guys back on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.